Last time on Our Worlds Are in Danger.
Thrust created a portal through time and space using the AutoShapes tool from Microsoft Word.
Alexis traded her pendant, a precious memento of her friendship with Starscream, for some random rock she found on Cybertron.
And Hotshot and Wheeljack performed Sonic Wind from Sonic Heroes.
I'm Wads.
I'm Jolene.
And I'm Tyra. And we want to tell you about the Transformers. This is Our Worlds Are in Danger, a podcast where we travel back 20 years to look at Transformers Armada and Micron Legend, the two versions of the anime that reinvented Transformers for a new generation of kids.
Wads, I think we've got an expert today.
This is it. This is the guest episodes, the end-all guest episodes. Tyra, you're the person that basically got me to be interested in watching Transformers Armada in the very first place. So why don't you introduce yourself?
It's your fault.
First of all, I apologize because I got you into watching Transformers Armada instead of Micron Legend.
Ah, yeah, that was it, I guess.
And now, you can apologize for getting me to watch Micron Legend.
No, I don't apologize for that. Hi, I'm Tyra, an alleged fanfiction writer. I've been a fan of Transformers for over 20 years now, and I am a UT superfan.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yep, basically, it's my favorite incarnation of the Transformers, warts and all.
I thought that was Bobots in Disguise 2001.
Nope.
Okay. But Robots in Disguise is what got you into the franchise, basically, right? Do I have that right?
That's correct. I first watched it when it was on Fox Kids, and it made me a Transformers fan, but it was Armada that got me to stay.
Mm.
So how did you come to Armada? Was it just like it started airing immediately after Robots in Disguise?
Well,
and you were like, okay.
Yeah, well, I joined, you know, like the forum for the AllSpark back in the day.
Mm. Rest in peace.
While watching Robots in Disguise. And, you know, I was, you know, like one of the, you know, like the unpopular voices because, you know, like our ID was not well received at the time beyond the toys.
Lunacy.
And
absurdity.
Yeah. I was, you know, like not having a great time. And then, you know, like the Toonami promo for Armada became known to us. Mm. And, you know, they did a very good job of selling that show with that promo. And, I'm always willing to give somebody some show a chance. And because, you know, like I cut my teeth on anime, I was, you know, like used to some of the tropes that, you know, like Armada was using and, you know, like its sense of pacing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I was better attuned to what they were going for than, you know, like fans who reacted negatively. And, and, you know, like, I just, you know, like, decided to stick around because, you know, like, I love the characters. Even though as an older adult, I fell out of love with the dub.
Mm.
Right, yeah.
But you would say on the whole, then, that Armada was, like, a successful anime, I guess is how I would phrase that, right?
Yes, and I understand that you guys have a very different opinion of it.
I mean...
Yes and no, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
See, you've given us a very low bar to clear here, Wads, because successful isn't really saying that much.
I feel like you didn't say that about the majority of Transformers series.
I think what I mean is, like...
That's the thing.
In terms of, like, just... Like, I don't know if I would consider Armada to be, like, you know, particularly revolutionary or, like, you know, a strong, like, artistic statement is my view on it. But in terms of, like, what animes typically are, if you have a typical 52-episode anime, I've not seen very many in my life overall. So I have, like, a fairly limited window on what they look like. But just by the general standards of quality for them, like, how they function, I get the impression that it's basically just you know, about right, about what they typically are.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, before, while we were ramping up to this, you know, like, I originally got into Transformers through a friend of mine who I met in the Digimon fandom. Mm. And so, you know, like, by that time, I was very used to 52-episode series.
Yeah.
As I watched three of them. And I will admit, you know, like, both of the original three Digimon anime are much better than Armada.
Okay. So what was it about today's episode that made you interested in it?
Well, I feel like Starscream in Armada is emblematic of the whole series. And he's generally my favorite character from the series. And when I told Joe that I wanted, you know, like, guest star on an episode, I said, make it a Starscream episode. And this is basically the Starscream episode.
Yeah, like, even back in the day, because I did some poking around on, like, the old Alt-Toys Transformers boards to, like, see what people were saying. I could barely find anything because nobody was watching Armada. But those who were, they were all, like, pointing to this episode. This is the good one. Tyra, did you have any Armada toys?
Oh, I had a whole bunch of them. I was not able to collect a lot of Robots in Disguise. I, you know, like, broke my heart that I was never able to get a Magnus. So I, you know, like, went all in on, you know, like, asking my parents and using, you know, like, my allowance to get Armada stuff.
You must be happy that you've got another chance to get it now, then.
Yes, very. I am very happy that HasLab Omega Prime got funded, and I think it's, you know, like, proof that, you know, like, people want, you know, like, other continuities.
Mm. It's proof that God exists.
Yeah, God Magnus.
What would you say is your favourite of the, or rather, what was your favourite of the Armada toys back in the day, do you think?
Well, I think it would have to be Starscream's toy, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was, you know, like, pretty much the best articulated, and he was my favorite character on the show. And, you know, like, he had the best, you know, like, repaints and remolds. Mm. I also liked Blur.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
And Demolisher a whole lot.
Yeah, both great toys.
Objectively, I think Demolisher is the strongest toy in Armada, but Starscream was my favorite.
Yeah, I can see that. I actually...
Demolisher holds up even today.
So what you're saying is that they should never remake Demolisher because they just couldn't get it as good again.
Well, no, they could, you know, like, give him ankle tilts.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what the legacy Armada stuff is, isn't it? It's Armada with ankle tilts and no firing missiles.
I mean, honestly, giving Demolisher literally any lateral movement would do a lot for him, I feel. Like, he's very much, like, forwards and backwards robot arms, like...
Yeah, they could do that, too, and... mostly, I'd miss Blackout, because Blackout is, you know, like... Demolisher is one of, like, two Decepticons that's, like, really close with his Mini-Con. Mm-hmm. You never see Crumple Zone. Like, you see him once and he disappears.
You see him and you think, is he an error? Like, do they mean to put him in this episode?
Like, Drillbit is more associated with Cyclonus than Crumple Zone is.
Thinking about the time that they included Rollbar attached to Scavenger's waist, but they just colored him like he was a bit of Scavenger because they just apparently didn't realize that was what he was.
Oh dear.
Yeah, that's another thing about 52 episode anime. You get a lot of shooting from the hip animation wise and coloring wise. Oh, I also really like the Cyclonus toy.
Did you ever have Drillbit? Because I know that he's got, like, specific interaction with...
Oh, I had, you know, like, the Destruction Minicon team, too. I had all of them. I was disappointed that Wheeljack never got the Dark Star Saber.
Wheeljack never got anything.
I will admit that plot line is a little bit undercooked.
It was undercooked because they were just giving all the heat to Starscream, to be honest. And speaking of, shall we get into our episode for this week?
Yeah, let's do that.
This week, Wads and Tyra watched episode 48 of Transformers Armada, Cramp, first broadcast in the UK on September the 29th of 2003, and in the US on December the 8th of 2003. Tyra and I watched episode 48 of Micron Legend, Shinen, first broadcast on November the 28th of 2003. This episode was written by Akira Okea, directed by Osamu Kimijo and Mitsuru Kawasaki, and adapted into English by Terry Classen. Starscream pleads with Galvatron that an alliance with the Autobots is their only hope against Unicron, but the Decepticon leader refuses, intending to bring down Optimus Prime and take command of the Autobots. When the two armies clash in battle, the Autobots try to avoid injuring the Decepticons as Optimus draws Galvatron away in hopes of convincing him to negotiate. The two leaders' duel is interrupted when Starscream arrives, personally challenging Galvatron to battle. The two are near evenly matched, and as they fight, energy arcs away from their clash into the sky where Unicron waits. As more of the moon's rocky crust breaks away, Unicron channels the energy into an attack on the spacebound Minicons. That power also cuts through the battlefield, but the two warriors ignore it as they clash one last time. But Starscream has deactivated his sword and takes the blow from the Star Saber in the chest, leaving Galvatron alive despite having his blade to his commander's neck. Starscream falls, reiterating that all he wanted was for Galvatron to listen and join forces with the Autobots. With the last of his strength, he fires his cannons at Unicron, and Unicron retaliates, reducing him to ash in an instant. Aboard the Axelon, Alexis's pendant breaks, and from the ship's window she sees Starscream's blast fade to nothing. Thinking back over his time with Starscream, Galvatron silently offers the Star Saber to Optimus, only for Sideways to emerge from the crater left by Unicron's attack and steal the weapon away. When Optimus tells the kids of Starscream's death, they are left grief-stricken, and Alexis takes it the hardest of all.
The thing I want to talk about, before anything else, is what the fuck is going on with the English title for this episode?
Cramp.
Like, what is the...
Starscream gets a cramp.
I guess. A very, very, very bad cramp.
Well, he shouldn't have gone swimming before 30 minutes after he ate.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Also, he's a jet. Why is he swimming?
This is like up there with Swoop in the What Happened, Guys.
Swoop, I at least had like a theory to put forward. I don't know. I
feel like I have a theory. I have a theory. Basically, it's meant to imply a sense of pressure before Starscream snaps and makes, you know, like his, you know, like character defining stand.
I think I would buy that if this wasn't coming from the same people who accidentally misspelled swords and gave us Swoop,
Oh, of course, but you know, it's also part of the Japanese title.
Is it? The TF Wiki translates it as prepared for death and conviction, the two.
Oh, conviction. Yeah, I think this is a... Okay, yeah, basically they mistranslated conviction as cramp.
Okay.
That does make sense, okay. Well, it does make sense, but I would buy that, so...
Who knows how it works with, you know, like, Japanese is, you know, like some impenetrable language, but, you know, like, a lot of words have multiple meanings when translated into English or when mistakes can be made or something like that. It's not something that's easily determined without seeing, you know, like the actual Japanese writing and being a language expert.
Mm. Yeah.
It's an unfortunate thing because, you know, like, this episode deserves a coherent title.
A title that is the cramp.
Yes. Starscream should really, you know, like, stay hydrated. Then he wouldn't get cramps.
So we open with, like, a big argument between Starscream and Galvatron. I don't know about you, Joe. I felt like we've seen this very argument play out, like, a bunch of times before by now.
True, but it is... It's Starscream and Galvatron playing off each other, and they're two of the best characters in the show, so I don't hate it.
Yeah, I do think that, like, the voice acting from David Kaye and Michael Dobson, like, really carries it in the dub, at least. They get some just good bits of performance in there. But, yeah, I don't know. I kind of was like, I thought we'd already resolved this. I thought we'd already, like, gotten past the whole Galvatron doesn't believe in Unicron thing, but then I realized that, like, that never happened in the show explicitly. It was just, like, a thing that I presumed had happened.
Well,
kind of. I don't know.
In the Japanese, at least, he, like, says, no, yeah, I can see Unicron exists, but I don't want to have to compromise with the Autobots to do it. It's like, I understand the need to destroy Unicron. However, have you considered that Optimus Prime is a bitch?
Okay.
It's, I really think something the dub, you know, like, lets the show down on is the rivalry between Optimus and Megatron being so personal. And it really comes, you know, like, spoiler alert, to a head in the finale.
Mm.
And you're like, Megatron's key trait in both Armada and Micron Legend is his pride. And he feels like his pride must come first above all else. And
yeah,
it's, you know, like an old, very old warrior, honorable combat bullshit. And he really, really wants to defeat Convoy / Optimus. And that's his first priority.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, flashing forwards quite a way in the, like, fight between Galvatron and Optimus in this episode, he's, like, complaining that the Autobots' mutual trust and heroism is boring. And I think that's, like, really interesting because, like, bored is what it's felt like Megatron's been for the entire show. He just doesn't really care about anything except getting the fight that he wants with Optimus, and he doesn't understand why Optimus won't give it to him.
Yeah, basically, and
And so in this initial scene, I really like how Galvatron is characterized, because it does feel like just the end point of his sort of myopic arrogance, where he just, he's like entirely self-centered in his worldview and focused on nothing but him and Optimus.
Well, there's this, you know, like, interesting bit in the Japanese version that gets left out of the dub, in that, you know, like, Megatron actually does something a little bit less selfish and actually acknowledges Starscream's, you know, like, abilities and offers him command of the Autobots once he defeats Optimus.
Yeah, and that was a really fun line. And I like that. Yeah, he's like, Starscream's trying to convince Galvatron, but Optimus is an honorable commander. You don't have to kill him before we can fight Unicron together. And Galvatron goes, oh, you're a decent lieutenant. You can command the Autobots when he's dead. And I really like that because it just does show just kind of, it shows his quote unquote respect for Starscream, but also how he doesn't understand Starscream at all.
Yeah. And,
I thought that was,
and
really,
you know,
cool.
Someone else has, you know, like, compared the relationship between Megatron and Starscream in Micron Legend as an old Zaibatsu head and his younger subordinate. And you're like, really, you know, this scene really drives that home in that Megatron expects to, you know, like, acquire the Autobots once Optimus is defeated. Because, you know, when you defeat one organization, that organization's head, that organization becomes your own.
Mm.
It gets added to your power base.
Yeah.
And,
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about it like that.
And I just, you know, like, I really miss that in the dub. And, you know, like, he does compliment Starscream in the dub, but it seems a little bit more backhanded.
No, definitely. Yeah. Mm. I have only seen the worst episode, obviously, and for me, I didn't think there was a lot of, like, depth to much of it. I think one thing that gets me is that, like, there's a lot made of the so-called rivalry between Prime and Megatron, but just in the dialogue, like, in this episode, and I feel in, like, episodes recently or, you know, in the past, I feel like there's kind of, like, no longer much of a rivalry between them at all. Like, it's something that's entirely on Megatron's side, and that's partially, like, an intentional choice, but the problem is that I'm not seeing, like, a lot of internality from Prime backing it up on his end, if that makes sense. Like,
well, I think that's intentional, because, you know, like, Convoy is more, you know, like, Optimus is more focused on getting, you know, like, the job done. He's focused on justice. And this comes to a head in Mortal Kombat, again, spoiler alert, in that, you know, Optimus is, you know, being driven by his virtues as opposed to Megatron, you know, like, fighting basically for his own ego and...
Right. Not too much spoilers.
Yeah.
I guess what I feel is that, like when Megatron says that he finds the... you know, the trust that the Autobots display or whatever, he finds that boring. I'm finding it boring with Optimus Prime currently, the way he is.
I mean, I will be honest, Armada Optimus Prime is boring. He's just like that. There's so much, like, centering of the idea of him as just, like, this kind of business-like military commander that he really just kind of falls flat for me.
It's like, in this episode, there could be something there with him, like, going to meet with Megatron, refusing to fight, and all this retreating and stuff. But where it fails for me is that I don't understand how he thinks he plans to convince Megatron of anything. I don't understand his strategy, what he's doing on a negotiating level. He basically stands there and takes the hits until an external force, Starscream, comes in and interrupts things and changes Megatron's perspective for him.
Okay, so... did they cut the line in English where Optimus says, look, I'll give you command if that's what you want, just we need to team up and get this dealt with?
When is that? When is that?
Yes, they did.
This is while the Optimus and Megatron are fighting.
Yes, they did. They cut
that. Oh, that's a real shame, because, like, in the Japanese, there's, like, a real Reed Richards and Doctor Doom energy where Optimus is like, please, I don't want to, like, overrule you. I just... if you want command, you can have it. We just need to fight Unicron together. And Megatron replies with, fuck you, asshole!
As you can see, Optimus Prime, I have depicted you as the Soy Jack and myself as the Chad. I don't know. Just, you know, like, speaking personally, Armada Megatron and Armada Optimus were the first time, you know, like, the opposition between Megatron and Optimus felt personal.
I mean, I can see that in comparison to Robots in Disguise, definitely.
Yeah,
you know, Megatron, like, in that show is a very, like, absent figure for much of it, I think.
Yeah.
That varies, you know, like, depending, you know, like, Robots in Disguise and Car Robots. In that Gigatron and Fire Convoy have an ideological opposition, mostly in the finale, of course.
Right.
Whereas in Robots in Disguise, Megatron is a cackling supervillain.
Yeah. Like, there is moments where Optimus and Megatron's rivalry in Armada does feel personal. Again, in that later fight, which we keep jumping forwards to, there is a line where, in the Japanese, where Optimus goes, well, I came here to negotiate, but I'll speak with my fists, which I think is a really cool line.
That's great. Yeah, there's nothing like that.
Well, that's a very Japanese line, you know, like a very, you know, like, G Gundam type thing. Because, you know, like, that show had, you know, like, the infamous line, men communicate with their fists.
But it feels like those moments are kind of scattered through the show, and then for the rest of it, Optimus is kind of just this dispassionate commander guy who doesn't really care about Megatron beyond, like, a purely business-like, he's the enemy commander level.
I can see that. The thing about Armada Optimus is, you know, like, we eventually learn that he's suppressing a lot of his own desires.
Yeah. But also, we are 48 episodes into a 52-episode show, and that hasn't been made clear yet, and it's like, you don't need to bunch all of the character development and revelations up at the very end, you know?
I get that. I'm looking at the completed package because, you know, like...
because you can do that, because you've watched the entire thing.
Yeah, I actually, you know, like, we had some delays in getting this episode started due to my scheduling, and also...
and my inability to count.
And your inability to count. But I rewatched all of Micron Legend in one go over 2 days.
Holy shit!
The whole thing?
Yeah, I don't have much to do these days.
Absolute brain blast.
I'm just imagining you strapped into the Ludovico machine from Orange.
No. I have a high tolerance for this, you know, like, 52-episode children's anime stuff.
Yeah, I can't decide whether I appreciate Armada better if I watched it all in one chunk or not, because, like, on the one hand, kind of, it might not feel, like, so drawn out, some of the arcs, but on the other hand, you would get to see it, like, repeating itself in very quick succession.
I get that, but... I hate to, you know, like, keep, you know, like, citing other media, but again, I watch a lot of, you know, like, Toku, and, you know, like, those kinds of shows repeat themselves all the time.
Yeah, but, like, at least Toku has, like, fight choreography. Armada doesn't really.
Yeah.
I mean, this episode, it has some.
It has a few bits and pieces to. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, like, older Toku with, you know, like. Especially in, like, Power Rangers and stuff. Please don't make fun of me.
Wads is Power Rangers' biggest fan.
I'm sure. Power Rangers brackets 2017's biggest fan.
Well, I mean stuff like in, you know, like the second season of MMPR, where they would constantly reuse the same footage of the Thunder Zord defeating like the bad guy. And suspiciously, neither of them are on screen at the same time because it's Zaiu 2 footage with a Die Ranger mecha footage spliced together. I'm used to repetition of a very literal variety.
So what you're saying is that you like Armada because you watch a lot of bad media.
I like Armada because I am good at milling a lot from a stone.
Okay. And I respect that.
I like the characterization in Super Link, not so much the plot. And Super Link is, you know, like one of the thinnest characterization stories in the franchise. But, you know, like I have ideas.
Which is saying a lot.
Which is saying this, a lot, yes.
The series isn't really known for its deep characterization as a... Who was it who said of Vector Sigma being the computer that gave the Transformers personalities? Well, it didn't do a very good job then, did it?
It gave, you know, like Huffer and Gears the same one.
That was Bryce Malick, apparently.
Bryce Malick, yeah. I think we should definitely like go through some more of the beats from the episode because we're running up to like half an hour.
Yeah,
on, sorry.
Yeah, so.
sorry.
It's all good.
So, back in that original conversation, which we still haven't properly got past, Starscream is like, I've witnessed the horrors of Unicron myself. And it's like, have you? You did kind of just get chased by some purple sludge. Is that?
Well, there's the purple spiders. You forgot the purple spiders.
I mean, that, like.
And the horrible clip art.
I think those were part of Unicron's digestion, but I don't know if Starscream would think that because Sideways did kind of just throw them at him.
Okay.
Yeah, well, fair. You know, spoiler alert, Sideways and Unicron, they're, you know, like part of the same team. And, you know, like, they've all, you know, like.
Sorry, what did you say? Sideways and Unicron are on the same team?
Well, of course, but it's just, you know, like, he's, you know, like, been personally affected by Sideways more so than other characters on the Decepticon side, and,
I think it would be really funny if, Starscream had gone, oh, we need to stop the horrors of Unicron, and Galvatron goes, well, I know you hate Sideways, but...
Yeah,
but I hate Optimus Prime more.
Yeah.
And what I hate is more important.
Basically, my large point is, you know, like, he's conflating what Sideways is capable of along with what he's seen of Unicron.
That's possible. I'm not sure I buy it. I think.
Yeah,
I
now think it doesn't sound right now that I've said it.
You know what? Let's just go with it. Let's assume that's what happened. Otherwise, we'll be here all day.
Yeah.
So. Starscream, like, keeps objecting despite Megatron telling him to drop it, and eventually Megatron just backhands him into a wall and walks off.
Yeah, basically. It's... And, you know, I don't want to get, you know, like, Linkin Park AMV on y'all, but this is really, you know, like, the first, you know, like, actual examples we see of, you know, like, Megatron manhandling Starscream in fiction, as opposed to just, you know, like, making threats and insults at him.
Hey, you're forgetting back in G1 when Megatron threw an Energon cube at his head.
Well, yes, but, you know, it's a trope that, it's you know, like an accepted trope that Megatron, you know, like, basically roughs Starscream up all the time. And I think Armada is where we really first see it in animation.
Yeah, I mean
here's where it's first played seriously, right? Versus just as a joke.
Yeah. And they're like, I'm not saying, you know, like, the relationship between Armada, Megatron, and Starscream is abusive. Well, it is, but not in the sense that, you know, like, the way people usually talk about imbalanced power dynamics. It's, you know, like, the Destrons...
It's abusive because Megatron's a supervillain.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's more so that, you know, like, you know how, like, I compared Megatron and Starscream, you know, like, members of a Zaibatsu group?
Yeah, well, it's definitely that. That's like the kind of abuse that is like just ingrained,
yeah, you know,
in the
like
organization.
They're like, you know, like a very physical and brutal group to begin with.
Yeah, we do hear cut. Like I was thinking, oh, this could be a good episode because I quite like that initial scene, and then we cut to Fred.
Yeah,
I'm like, no.
I forget what Fred does here.
Fred's just like, what the fuck is going on? Because Fred doesn't know what's happening in Transformers: Armada and has no reason to be in the show.
It's I forget what he does.
That's it.
Yeah, he literally like, just says...
And I've watched this episode 4 times in the past week.
What's your position on Billy and Fred? In the world where they made Armada exactly to your specifications, what would they have done with Billy and Fred? I've got my answer, and it's just don't. Just don't have them in there.
Well, I like the idea of, you know, like the bully characters, you know, like coming around and becoming friends with everybody. And
yeah, I mean, I can see that. I think there is something like inherently very like cute to that, I would say.
Yeah, but they're just kind of there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I have my own ideas for them and, you know, like something I'm working on. But that doesn't really, you know, like justify the show. No. I just like, you know, like take, you know, like less well-received things and try to put a positive spin on it.
Mm-hmm. You're a real Ian Flynn.
Yeah. Ian Flynn is a big influence on me as a writer.
I respect it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, honestly, I really liked the episode where, you know, like, Fred, you know, like, bonded with Leader One.
Yeah, I like that bit. It would have been nice if it had gone anywhere.
I liked that they, like, bullied Leader One in that episode. I thought that was good.
Yeah, and, you know, like, in general, I consider Leader One to be a huge miss opportunity for this show.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Minicons in general, they're just not characters.
Well, Highwire is.
Highwire is the magic voice that tells Rad what to do.
Well, I've personally always seen the Minicons as a whole as one character.
Yeah, I think that's the way to view it, is that they're one group, and Highwire is the voice of the Minicons, yeah.
This is true, mm-hmm. But also, like, okay, the Minicons as a group are one character, but...
Doesn't mean they have character.
Yeah, they are not a character.
I just think that there's, you know, like, something, you know, like, really, you know, like, inspiring that these creatures that were born not really as living creatures at all, but were changed into something positive for the universe by what it was essentially, you know, like the friendship of some, you know, like hopeful children.
I mean, that's where the word comes from, like evolution, right? Is with them evolving from something more animal, something, I guess, like uncaring into something that is like, yeah, just a fully formed sentient being in a gestalt sense, at least.
Yeah, like in one sense, they would have been like sideways without the kids coming along and, you know, like, saving them.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, I really like the Minicons arc in theory, but it's just, it doesn't really play out in practice. Like, I think them going from, like, these kind of mindless, generic troops to beings with their own lives and personalities and friendships, it would hit so much harder if they did. If they actually did have characterization.
I get that, but also have you considered the fact that there's like 50 of them in the toy line?
Yeah, but
you only need like 5 of them to have characters to like, you know, then like, generalize that out. Like characterization in Armada is not like particularly deep. It's to the point where you need much time to establish it. You can just have them do like a fun little quip every
time. If you like took 5 Minicons and gave each of them one defined personality trait, that would be enough for me.
Yeah, that's... But, you know, like, the main weakness of Armada / Micron Legend is that they don't know what to do with a lot of its characters.
A lot of its moving parts, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because they've just been handed it, basically, from you know, on high, from Aaron Archer or whoever, and it's just like, well...
Yeah, like, Red Alert and Smokescreen are basically... They might as well just be, you know, like, crowd fillers. Mm-hmm. And Grap has a little bit more character than Smokescreen. But Red Alert, you know, like, Red Alert basically stops being a character after his focus episode.
Which is, like, what, the 5th episode?
Yeah. And, you know, like, Red Alert becomes more of a character in Cybertron. Mm-hmm. Like, even though, you know, like, he's but, may I mean, not actually be Red Alert.
But yeah, that's the thing. Like, they, yeah. And Sideswipe just completely changes personality depending on what any given scene needs him to be.
I think, you know, like, the dub actually, you know, like, does better with Sideswipe as opposed to Stepper, because, you know, like,
you're admitting that the dub did something better.
Yes, this is the one area I will say the dub did something better, because Sideswipe feels more like he comes off as, you know, like, a suffering, inept dork, mostly due to his vocal characterization in the dub, than he does in Micron Legend.
Yeah, in Mycon Legend, he is just some guy.
Okay.
Yeah, and it just, you know, like, Alistair Abel, I think it was. Could someone check that for me?
Sam Vincent, apparently.
Sam Vincent, the same voice actor as Kobe. He does a good job of, you know, like, playing nerdy characters, or, you know, like, characters that are, you know, like, stiff or upright.
And apparently he was the singing voice of Sonic the Hedgehog in Sonic Underground.
Yep.
Incredible.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, that's a little bit out of his wheelhouse, actually. He just mostly, you know, like, plays, you know, like, nerdy characters, in my experience. The exception being Athrun Zala from Gundam Seed.
That's interesting, because...
Yeah.
I think neither I nor Wads are particularly fond of Sideswipe.
No,
it's interesting that this is like...
I like Sideswipe mostly because of what he brings out in Hotshot.
I think that's cool in theory, but again, like so much of Armada, nice in theory would be nice if they'd actually done stuff with it.
No, I mean in those, in specifically those two episodes.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, moving on, they talk about engaging the Decepticons. I will admit I'm a little bit confused at what's going on here, because it seems like they all suddenly agreed to, you know, like, simultaneously engage the other, and they just, you know, like, they end up clashing. Like, this was planned somehow.
Well, I think the implication I answered is that, like, they have arranged some sort of negotiation and Megatron is just planning to kill them all or whatever, was my understanding. But maybe I just invented a more interesting thing than what the show is actually doing. And that there
it's more that, you know, like, Megatron planned to attack the Autobots, and Optimus, meanwhile, coincidentally, is planning to, you know, like, go out and, you know, like, find them and, you know, like, engage them. And he's like, it's just kind of contrived.
Yeah, in the Japanese version, it at least felt to me like they knew that the Decepticons were coming to try and kill them, and they wanted to, like, get out in front of it and go, please, can we negotiate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're like, well, I guess, you know, like, it's not too unrealistic to think that they picked up all these ships heading their way.
Yeah, yeah. They all go out, the whole Autobot crew go out, and the order is like, well, we're not gonna like, fire on them, we're not gonna, like, kill anyone, we're gonna just, like, defend ourselves if they start shooting at us. And
which is undermined by it looking like single fight in the show.
I think there is my favorite point in this episode later on, but my favorite, like, single little beat, I think, when Cyclonus goes, am I nuts or are they missing on purpose? And Demolish was like, the obvious answer, Cyclonus, is you're nuts. Which is just
that I will admit is a great line from the dub.
Like, that one bit, like, carries the idea of them, you know, just shooting aimlessly at the animation, as well as, like, very much like just a bunch of laser fighters going nowhere near Cyclonus and Demolisher. But yeah, the rest of it is just
Anyway, there's an interesting, you know, like, difference between the dub and the sub here. You know, like, it really highlights that Grapp has at least a little bit more characterization than Smokescreen, in that he has to be told not to engage them, you know, like, to be serious. Whereas in Armada, he's the one telling everybody to take it easy. And it's Blur who lectures Grapp, you know, like, not go all out, whereas in the Armada, Smokescreen is lecturing Blur.
Honestly, Smokescreen lecturing Blur makes more sense to me, because Blur's a dick.
Yeah.
Or at least he was until he became just the pilot.
Well, yeah, Blur is a dick, but, you know, like, he's all business.
Okay, I can see that, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, but Grapp is a rowdy guy. Smokescreen is just old. That's literally his entire character in Armada.
So many characters in Armada are.
Yes, but he's just, you know, like, Cup without the cantankerousness. Mm. Whereas in Minecraft Legend, Grapp is just, you know, like, this rowdy older guy that Cup would probably hate.
I can see it.
Yeah. And, like, it's not much, but it gives Grapp a little bit more than Smokescreen.
Mm. But yeah, meanwhile, we have Starscream ruminating to himself. He's having a bit of a meditation, and he's standing
next
in front
to a giant statue of Megatron.
Yeah, like,
who's, like, reaching his hand to the sky, and Unicron's, like, floating above his hand, like he's about to grab it. And I'm like, bit on the nose, guys.
I mean, what did they mean by
this? I thought it was a great image. I thought it was a great image that really sums up Starscream's dilemma in that Megatron is larger than life to him while he's also simultaneously playing right into Unicron's hands because of what we later learn about how Unicron works.
See, I'm just like, but why is there a big statue of Megatron? But then as I phrase the question, I think, oh, wait, of course there is. Of course he's built one already after going back to Cybertron. That makes perfect sense.
I get the impression that it was already there before he left.
Cinema sends ding. It's in his Earth design. So
well, yeah, so is a lot of stuff. So they mix up the Earth and Cybertron designs all the time.
Okay, I would accept that if it wasn't for the fact that, like, just a couple of episodes ago, we had, like, the scene in the alternate timeline where they very specifically used the Cybertronian models.
That's true. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's just built it. I think he's literally just got Demolisher and Cyclonus to put it up for him. Like,
I think that is the funnier answer.
I so think, you know, like, or, you know, like, if you want a less funny answer, you know, like, he sent his new design specs back to Cybertron at some point and said, hey, guys, build this.
Okay, that's actually, I think, even funnier answer, so I'm voting for that one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just, you know, like, imagining, you know, like, the Decepticon sculpture division. And, like, where do guys like that get marble anyway on Cybertron?
Just a bunch of, like, reuses of the G1 Constructicon models.
Mm.
And, yeah, Starscream ponders, and he thinks about Alexis, and then he screams and flies away into the sky going, ah, I won't let you hurt her, ah.
In the dub, he basically speaks of all the humans. I don't know which I prefer.
Oh, is that how it is? Specifically Alexis in the... yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I prefer that specifically her. I think I prefer that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, the episode is, you know, like, I think it, you know, like, fits better with everyone's reaction at the end, you know, like, taking it so personally if he's thinking of all of them.
I mean, definitely, but I think that Micron Legend specifically keeps it very personal to Alexis. And I think it's
the that's true, that's true. And out. You know, like, the show does focus on Alexis' reaction the most.
Yeah. So the Autobots and Decepticons are fighting. A couple of, like, F-15 jets fly past, which I thought was quite funny, because it's like, when do they scan those? is that, like, G2 Sandstorm? Because they're, like, tan and orange seekers.
Oh, good, I can put Sandstorm in my UT display.
Excellent. Well, you need to get at least two.
That's true.
And, like, and the kids are watching, they're at home watching Transformers Armada, and Wheeljack is shooting at the Autobots because he's a Decepticon again.
Using his big hand
back. I did think it was really funny that Carlos went, like, okay, I did fucking tell you about Wheeljack, didn't I? Like, last episode he was the episode before, he was the one who goes, like, should we really be trusting Wheeljack? And then this episode he's going, I did say.
So the dub actually doesn't have that. He just says, look, it's Wheeljack. I thought he was on our side. And Red Alert's like, so did I. But it looks like he had a change of heart, Carlos. I suppose once you become a Decepticon, you'll always be a Decepticon. He's an honorable soldier, and I'm sure he feels he must live up to the Decepticon oath. Let's just hope that Optimus can convince Galvatron to join with us. Otherwise, he's our enemy. And it's like, okay, Red Alert, sure. Go off, I guess. Like,
in the original, he compares the relationship between Hotshot and Wheeljack to Devastar and Convoy, a.k.a. Scavenger and Optimus.
Mm. See, that's it, right? Like, having any sort of comparison to Scavenger, like, remembering who he is, like, that's the perfect thing to bring up. And it's completely absent in the dub. Like, whatever, no, forget about it. Like, just some nonsense about how Decepticons are inherently evil or whatever it is.
Yeah. Galvatron flies down combined with Tidal Wave to fight Optimus.
And we get, you know, like, basically an extended sequence of them selling, you know, like, Magna Jet Convoy. Yeah, you know, like,
combining that with Jetfire and Overload.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, everyone's favorite character, Overload.
Daniel's favorite character, Overload.
Mm.
And I actually laughed out loud, like, he combines with them, gets the massive Overload cannons on his shoulders, and then he just flies away.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah, that's, it just, you know, like, it's the most Two Cells toy moment in the show to me.
Yeah. But it's funny enough that I'm willing to excuse it.
Like, Tidal Wave stays slightly more relevant in this scene, in that he, like, he's actually, like, attacking, but eventually, you know, like, they start fighting and Overload disappears into the ether again.
Mm-hmm.
And Megatron and, you know, like Optimus end up fighting one-on-one with Jetfire basically tackling Tidal Wave off. I just keep thinking about how, you know, like Tidal Wave's, you know, like threat decay.
Mm.
He was originally a threat to the entire Autobot group and, you know, like a juggernaut. And here he's just being, you know, like shoved out of the scene by just Jetfire.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the first time that happened was when, like, the Hotshot just single-handedly knocks him over.
Yeah. And I can buy it a little bit more with Jetfire, because Jetfire is, you know, like, probably the second most powerful Autobot in the show.
He's the Knight of the Sky.
Is that a... Oh, yeah, that's a thing. I completely forgot about his...
Yeah, that's one of his catchphrases in...
Yeah, I completely forgot that. How did I forget that? I watched the show recently.
In Japanese, Jetfire has two main traits. The first is that he's the Knight of the Sky, and the second is that he's the party guy.
Yeah. Michelangelo is a party dude. Look out!
If you want to talk about, like, power scaling an armada, the bit that really gets me is just the fucking sword. Every time Megatron, like, swings that sword around, it fails to just, like, slice through something like butter. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Why would you write this?
Okay, I did kind of like, because, like, they land and the two start, like, they jettison their combiner partners to fight one-on-one. I did like how, like, Optimus catches the sword by the sides, but like Megatron is still pushing it down, and like as soon as it touches Optimus's shoulder, it just cuts into it. I thought that was cool. Like the second that he touches you with the edge of the sword, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're like, there's this really tense moment where, you know, like Optimus is basically barely holding the sword back.
Mm.
You go, you're like, oh, is he gonna die again?
Yeah, like I don't think the show does a good job of like selling any of the Minicon weapons as powerful as they're meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I give it the auteur's respect in this one scene, because, like, they are actually trying to do something with it. Optimus is trying to, like, convince Galvatron of the threat of Unicron. He does the whole, look, I'll give you the command if that's what you want, and gets the fuck you arsehole in response.
Whereas in the dub, they're basically trash-talking each other the whole time.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm a bit frustrated by this focus on the threat of Unicron when that threat is so entirely abstract, because I just don't feel like the show's done a good job of, like, selling what Unicron means up to this point, why it's such a big deal, or why they need to beat him so badly.
I can see that, even if I don't personally agree with it.
Mm.
Because I thought the whole alternate reality where everyone is basically, like, being digested by Unicron...
Right, but I don't think that they've, like, clearly established, like, how Unicron connects to all that.
Yeah, like, it's just like...
You said the Minicons are Unicron cells, and then the Transformers are all melting away, but, like, they haven't drawn a line between those two things.
To be honest, I think there's a thread of it where it is down to, like, faith in the show, because, you know, certain characters in the show have seen firsthand those images, those, like, they've gone up against his minions and that kind of thing. It's like, Prime hasn't, really. Prime has, like, died, but, like, not really relatedly to Unicron in any way. So he's just, like, heard about this threat from the others and is like, well, yeah, this is it.
In the,
like,
original version, they talk about trust, you know, like, comrades and stuff. The whole very anime, you know, like, trust is, like, invisible. How can you have faith in it? And Convoy going, trust makes us stronger. And you're like, I think it is meant to imply that Optimus is, you know, like, believing in the kids and the Minicons, and you're like taking them at their word. And you're like, basically, he knows what the threat is through them.
Yeah, I think that's definitely right. And I think, like, you have to imagine how this scene would read if Unicron was literally in the process of vacuuming up Cybertron. Like, you know, we can see he's a threat. He's right here. He's, like, you know, destroying the whole planet. It would read entirely differently, like Megatron's reaction to it. What makes the conflict, like, remotely believable is the fact that the threat isn't really right there yet. And so Megatron can just be like, I don't care. I'm going to kill Prime instead. I don't know.
I can see it.
Yeah, and you like, that's kind of, you know, like, brought over in an earlier line from Ironhide / Demolisher earlier in the episode, where he basically says in the Japanese version, Unicron is just a planet that became our moon. Like, he's not taking it seriously yet.
Hmm.
Hmm.
It's a very blink and you'll miss it line.
Yeah. Okay, I can see where you're coming from. I don't think that Unicron has been well enough established still.
Hmm.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from, even though...
There's a bit later in this episode, which, well, we'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll get to it. Anyway, there's an explosion. Megatron, you know, like, draws away from Optimus to, you know, like, see what's going on. We get this whole, who is that? And, you know, like, we all know it's Starscream.
It's very clearly,
you know, like,
Starscream.
The show wants us, you know, like, but, you know, like, we do get that cool visual of, you know, like, his silhouette pulling out the glowing sword and sweeping the smoke away.
Mm-hmm. If Armada had a higher budget, this is where, like, Starscream's specific insert theme would be playing.
Yeah, but the fight shifts to Megatron and Starscream, because, you know, like, Starscream personally challenges Megatron, and Convoy tries to, you know, like, get him to stay out of it, whereas Optimus is just kind of, what the heck are you doing?
And I think what makes the fight choreography actually work here is that where Prime fighting Megatron was very much, like, on the back foot, very much, like, there's no passion in it or anything. Here, Starscream's more or less doing the same thing of, like, not really, like, being on the offensive, but he's much more in control and much more just accomplished, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, and, yeah, you know, like, there's a line in, like, Micron Legend that isn't in the dub, how the wing blade can, you know, like, counter the Star Saber, is that Megatron...
Yeah,
that,
like,
Starscream
focused his spark into it.
Yeah, right, and he's okay, reinforcing the wing blade, and I think that's a very, you know, like, symbolic thing. Starscream is, you know, like, finally putting all of his conviction into something.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, there's the title!
All of his cramp into something.
Yeah, and... this is Starscream basically going all out, and basically he's still not a match for Megatron. He's basically on the defensive the entire fight.
I mean, my impression was that he, like, could in theory have won the fight if he really wanted to. I don't know. Like,
yeah, that's,
I don't agree.
Because there's the point at the end when, like, he goes to land the blow against Megatron's neck, and, like, the sword is deactivated at that point. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I can see. Like, I see that now.
Like, at the very least, if Starscream had been fighting seriously, they would have just both killed each other.
That. Yeah, I see where what you're saying now.
But before that happens, while they're, like, dueling, like, this lightning is crackling around them and flowing up into the sky into Unicron.
Yeah.
As they fight.
This is cool.
And I think that's, well, it is cool, and it's, like, causing more of the moon to crack open and these, like, Unicron jaws to become visible. And
it's also a foreshadowing of how Unicron works in this continuity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like,
I mean, that's the thing for me. Like, so if the energy of their fighting is, like, reinvigorating Unicron, why has that not happened at all before this moment? Why wasn't the fighting between the Autobots and the Decepticons earlier in this episode powering him up?
Because
the Autobots weren't fighting seriously.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, but Starscream's also not fighting seriously.
Yeah, no, you're
well,
right.
Well, but he's still swinging a sword and cutting Megatron. Like, there's this part where, you know, like, they swing their swords and they all both jump back, and, you know, like, the very anime thing of, you know, like, the scars appearing on them.
I think the like, samurai cuts where they swing the swords and then moments later the cuts appear. Mm.
That was pretty cool.
It's cliche, but I
like
it.
There's definitely some of the idea that, like, the Decepticons fighting, like, trying to kill the Autobots in the, you know, the B-plot, the idea that isn't enough for Unicron. What he needs is that, like, mutual, like, hatred, the mutual need
passion.
Just to destroy each other. Like, I think that's...
Which would also explain why Optimus and Megatron fighting wouldn't...
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, there's ways you can explain it, but ultimately I'm just kind of coming back to, I wish that Unicron had, like, been more of a presence throughout this show, been kind of better set up and foreshadowed, and the ideas that he's playing with had not come
so late,
45 plus episodes into a 52 episode.
Well, here's the thing about Unicron, you kind of have to, you know, like, restrain yourself from using him sometimes.
Sure, I just think they restrained themselves a little too much.
Yeah, that's definitely something I can agree with. But, you know, like, I think, you know, like, once they, you know, like, really, you know, like, start showing what Unicron is capable of in this episode, with the lightning raining down as they're fighting, it, you know, like, starts to show you that Unicron is dangerous.
I mean, this is good. This bit is good, like, specifically. It just, we need more of it sooner. Like,
yeah, yeah. I'm just talking about the episode now, trying to introduce the idea of, you know, like, Unicron starting to, like, go on the offensive.
Like, they prepare for their final blows. Megatron screams, "Come at me, bro." and we see, like, Starscream's sword specifically deactivating before he swings that final swing, mm-hmm. which I think is cool, because he just slaps Megatron on the shoulder.
Yep. And the dub gets nonsensical here.
Yeah, is this when Megatron's like, you had this planned all along, didn't you? And Starscream goes, I did, sir.
Well, it's more Megatron going, Starscream, where did you get all of this power? As he's
that would make sense.
Got his sword in Starscream's chest.
Well, he's saying, like, because, you know, he can see that Starscream has, like,
how did you almost manage to beat me?
Because, like, the only reason he doesn't is because he turns off the sword. So he's like, well, hang on, how did you do that? How did you, like, the very fact that he is alive to acknowledge Starscream in that moment is why he says that, I think.
I see. In Micron Legend, he asks Starscream, why did you cut off the Wingblade's power?
Okay, so it probably is maybe just a mistranslation that happens to make some sort of sense itself.
Happens to work, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel, you know, like Megatron and Starscream's conversation here in the dub makes no sense. Mm. But, you know, like, that may be my biases playing into it.
I mean, as a definitely the bit where it's, you know, implied that Starscream has, this is somehow some big plan of Starscream's. I don't understand what they meant by that, because Starscream himself has not known what he's been doing.
I feel like there's this undercurrent in, you know, like, the dub that wants to, like, make Starscream more sinister than he actually is.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, and, you know, like, it goes back all the way to the start of the dub. Like, I rewatched the dub a year ago because I hate myself. And, you know, like, that's just, you know, like, one thing I caught onto is that Armada versus Micron Legend, Starscream, you know, like, he's more of a jackass.
Yeah, I think, like, the bit about you had this planned all along is, like, kind of a conflation of Megatron going, you deliberately let me cut you down, and Starscream going, I never wanted to beat you, I just saw you as the ultimate warrior and I wanted you to recognize
me. that makes a lot more sense. I mean, this is something that Armada does, where it wants to, like, have lines seem more badass or interesting than they, like, are meant to be. It's like, oh, this was always the plan. It's like, oh, that's a big twist. Or, like, you know, Jetfire saying, oh, I'm gonna go kill the Decepticons, and then he doesn't, because that's not
Megatron's, you know, like, questions of Starscream are more indirect, while in the dub he goes, why did you make me run you through like that, soldier? And I'm not saying, you know, like, that's better, because they're, you know, like, ultimately asking the same question. It just creates a little bit of dissonance that the Micron Legend scene doesn't have, in my opinion.
No, I can see that, definitely.
We've seen this before with the dub, you know, like, trying to simplify things and, you know, like, spell things out more directly than the Japanese version does. I'm not saying that's, you know, like, a bad, the audience is, you know, like, 8-year-olds.
It's American 8-year-olds as well, specifically, so.
Yeah. But, you know, like, they have a very different conversation in Micron Legend versus the dub. In Armada, Starscream is, like, saying, he basically disses Megatron one last time by saying, Optimus was a leader of integrity, unlike you.
Yeah.
And in Micron Legend, he's, you know, like, saying that Convoy is a trustworthy commander. You can
you can trust him.
You can trust him. And I admit I'm a little bit murky on where, you know, like, Starscream is going with this, because Convoy being trustworthy isn't the point.
Yeah.
Megatron hates the guy. It's a point of pride.
I don't care how trustworthy you are. I'm not letting you drive my car.
Yeah, and I think the intent of the episode is to show that, you know, like, this is so important. It's something Starscream is worth dying for. It's, you know, like, a very, you know, like, I hate to say anime trope of characters showing their courage and conviction through putting their life on the line.
Yeah.
And Megatron still isn't convinced by this, you know, like, in either the dub or the sub.
So Starscream grabs the sword and pulls it out of his body, and Optimus goes, like, no, you shouldn't take it out. And it's like, is he going to bleed out? is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, here? That's another thing about Japanese TF shows. You know, like, they kind of treat them, you know, like, more like organic creatures than the American stuff does, where, you know, like, Waspinator can be dismembered, and blown up and flattened to a sheet of paper or disintegrated and you like turn out fine. Mm-hmm. Whereas in, you know, like Japanese stuff, they show up in bandages and
Wheeljack chokes Sideswipe to make him pass out.
Yeah. And you know, like seeing Thrust in bandages in one episode is hilarious. But
it is.
I mean, that is a very Beast Wars Waspinator a bit though as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved the bit where Demolishor had his shoulder stacks bandaged off. Cut off.
Yeah.
Right.
You saw that in Car Robots too. I don't remember enough about Beast Wars the Second or Beast Wars Neo. It's been a while since I saw them. But Skybite would also be in bandages a lot.
And basically, I guess the idea is that like he's imbuing all of his like remaining life force into this null ray cannon shot.
Mm-hmm.
Doing one last power length for the road.
It's a proton cannon in the dub for some reason. I don't know why.
They're very inconsistent with attack names.
Mm-hmm. But this is it. This is like the best moment of the episode, I would say, 100%, in terms of both animation and I think the narrative is just this like dying act of Starscream.
Yeah.
This is where we like really get the moment that Unicron is such a threat.
Yeah,
because he bares his teeth and he disintegrates Starscream in this really powerful image of Starscream breaking down from the top until like there's nothing left of him.
But I think what gets me is the fact that it feels personal, because Starscream, like, he screams, he shoots this beam of his laser shot into the sky, and then in response the lightning comes down from Unicron, like in parallel to it, and it feels like an exchange, you know, like,
yeah. The fact that that Starscream's shot never even hits Unicron, because it fizzles
out
before
Because in the bit when it first happens, you don't see that. But when you see it then from Alexis's perspective on the ship, is the subsequent scene, she watches through the window and we see the purple beam like just going, it's getting close, and it fizzles out like before it reaches Unicron. And
I'm just gonna, you know, like give credit, you know, like both Michael Dobson and Jin Yamanoi, and that they both, you know, like do, you know, like a really good job of selling, you know, like Starscream's desperation.
Mm.
Like, I'm not as big a fan of Michael Dobson's Starscream as you might be, Wads, because, you know, like, he comes off as a bit more whiny than the Japanese version.
Now, to be fair, that's not entirely inappropriate.
That's not entirely inappropriate. It's Starscream, but, you know, it just, you know, like, highlights the differences between the Japanese and American approaches to Starscream, where, you know, like, in the Japanese version, he has this, like, deep, pretty boy voice, and he's generally portrayed as more confident and intelligent than he is in the English version.
Hmm.
And that's more stark in Armada than it is in other continuities.
Hmm.
Because, you know, like, yeah, Starscream definitely is, you know, like this noble warrior archetype, and, you know, like, I feel like Michael Dobson, you know, like, typically tries, you know, like, force him into the American Starscream box, not just with a raspier voice, but making him a little bit more petulant.
Mm.
I think the petulance was kind of more appropriate at the start of the show, where Micron Legend Starscream was like, I mean, as we see in this episode, when Megatron gives a flashback, Starscream spent, like, most of the first few episodes, like, whining, like, why can't I have a Minicon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get that.
So I think it might have been, like, partially just, like, not knowing where the character would go exactly.
Yeah.
I get a sense that the writers themselves were surprised by how much they got out of Starscream.
Yeah.
From seeing them talk about it.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely, because early on in the show, he's a bit more plotting, and before, you know, like, he kind of, you know, like, runs into this trope of a guy who just wants to prove himself.
Mm.
Yeah.
I like that he ejects Grid / Swindle.
That's a really good bit of it, yeah. The way, like, it's in slow motion. He just, like, the race car comes off the back and transforms this little guy. And you see that moment where Swindle, like, mourns him, I think, for, like, a moment, you know, where he just like, beeps, but, like...
And in the Japanese version, Convoy says to Grid, it's over, you can come with me, Grid, your partner's not here anymore.
God.
Versus the Armada version where he says, it's over, Swindle, Starscream's gone.
Yeah, that's God.
And it really, you know, like, shows the Japanese version's commitment to showing that Optimus wants to do right by the Minicons and that he, you know, like, takes responsibility for Swindle, whereas, you know, like, you get that earlier weirdness in the dub where Optimus, you know, like, says, oh, we'll rescue the Minicons and, you know, like, let them do whatever they want as soon as, you know, like, they do stuff for us. And, you know, like, that's one of my least favorite parts of the dub, but I digress. You know, like, it's a recurring theme for Micron Legend when, you know, like, you watch it from week to week that Optimus is very committed to, you know, like, doing right by the Minicons and...
But I do think that makes it, like, maybe a little bit weaker insofar as that, like, that gives the kids less of a role, given that, like, earlier on they're very much the, like, the voice and advocates of the Minicons. Even to Optimus, but then...
Yeah, but I just don't think it's a good idea to have, you know, like, the lead hero of your show going, oh, we're going to basically have these guys be slaves, but only temporarily.
I mean, why is that a bad idea? I mean, that's an interesting moral conflict, and I think it's interesting to have a character like, I don't know, I think it's ultimately a difference of preference of, like, Prime is the archetype.
It would be, like, a great, you know, like, moral conflict if, you know, like, the dub had the power to do anything with it.
Okay, yeah, true.
Yeah, because, you know, like, my objection to, like, how the dub, you know, like, handles Optimus and the Minicons early on is not that it's a bad idea. It just can't go anywhere because, you know, like, it runs counter to what Convoy does as opposed to what Optimus does.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, again, it's a matter of translation. Versus, you know, like, this isn't necessarily a bad idea. I think it's, you know, like, a good moment that, you know, like, highlights Optimus's character in either version.
Right, yeah. Yeah. I do really like the scene with Alexis where the pendant just breaks at the moment of Starscream's death.
Yeah, why does it? That's really cool. It's just a random moon rock that he found. I don't understand.
Well, it's emotional logic.
Emotions?
It's spiritually connected. It's a symbol. Wads, have you ever heard of symbolism?
Yeah, it's basically symbolic of the fact that, you know, like, her friend is gone now.
Yeah. It would be really nice if the pendant had been set up at all before the last episode, and I know it was the Master Rock previously, but...
Yeah, but this is what sets up running to the window and seeing, you know, like, the aforementioned beam petering out.
Yeah.
Like... Starscream never intended to, you know, like, actually hit Unicron.
Just kind of like...
He wanted, you know, like, show Megatron that this is worth putting your life on the line for.
I mean, I think he definitely intended to hit Unicron, right? Like, he's shooting at the guy.
Well, what I mean is I realistically don't think he meant to, you know, like, actually do much damage.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he won.
He didn't think it was going to do it. It's a gesture to say, you can do it. You can put this aside. We have this power between us.
And then a sideways jumps out.
And you're like, I will admit the dub does a very cool line here. And Unicron shall inherit the Star Saber.
Yeah, it's sick.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, here's one thing about the dub that I will always stand. Paul Dobson sideways.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty cool. He's just, like, a truly an evil biker guy, I guess. That's it, right? Like,
yeah, he's just, you know, like, so good at sounding, you know, like, genuinely demonic at times. His early appearances are gruff, but as his true nature becomes, you know, like, known, he becomes more calculating. And I think, you know, like, there's an legitimate evolution of his performance, whereas everyone, you know, like, generally stays the same in the dub.
And then he jumps down a hole and opens fire randomly. Well, I guess it's to, like, collapse the tunnels so that nobody can follow him
through his little fucking portal.
It is kind of funny, like, how he's just, like, wriggling around shooting.
Yeah, and you're like, it's just his upper torso.
Yeah.
Like, they're just moving, you know, like, the cell back and forth, separate from his lower body, and it looks funny as hell, but, you know...
He must dance.
Yeah, and you're like, I just, you know, like, want someone to do an edit of that image and, you know, like, put a rave light effect over it.
I mean, he's kind of making his own rave light with his laser blast, but...
Yeah. Set it to the He-Man version.
And, you know, like, edit in glow sticks. I didn't really think of it when I first watched it because, you know, like, his laughter is so creepy and, you know, like, that's what keeps it from being totally ridiculous. But once I, you know, like I studied the scene, I can't take it seriously anymore.
Yeah.
He looks so goofy.
The thing is that they're literally just saving all their animation budget for the next scene when Alexis is very sad and we need to show that she's sad by doing big animations.
Yeah, there's another, you know, like part where I think the dub drops the ball in that in Armada, they're all audible.
Yep, I suspected as much. In Japanese, it's just the background music.
And you know, like
silent.
Beautiful, you know, like background music of Jim, aka Fred, bursting into tears, and you know, like Carlos falling to his knees and Alexis running out, and, you know, like pounding on the window, and Rad follows her, and you know, like you get her wordlessly, you know, like hitting his chest, and you know, like I think it's a nice scene. And the dub kind of, you know, like makes kind of telegraphs.
Yeah, I mean,
what's going on?
Honestly, now you say it, it makes a lot more sense in terms of the drama of the animation, because that just for me it was melodramatic, right? It just none of it was like really landing for me because it's just so like.
I will say that Tabitha St. Germain does a really good job with Alexis here, even though I don't think she should be talking at all.
That's it. Like it's like the dialogue is all fine, but just all together, it's just it's so much. Like, yeah, I don't know. I think like if I was like a kid watching this whole scene, I would probably like have connected with it. You know, like oh, is this sad music and everyone's like weeping and having a bad time? It's like oh no, my good friend Starscream's just died for a noble cause. I would probably connect with that, but I think that yeah, as an adult, I'm like eh.
Anyway, yeah. There's another dub difference here in Rad's closing narration in Armada is that Starscream is gone and his demise seemed to be in vain. And he says, like everything in life, everyone have to wait for the purpose of Starscream's actions. All they had were too many unanswered questions. And you know, like the dub doesn't know what's going on either with Starscream.
Yeah.
And the dub doesn't have any idea what's going on.
So and wait for next time for the answers. Maybe we'll find out.
Yeah.
And you, of course, there will be no answers because you know, like the Japanese version is more confident in you know, like stating its thesis. In Micron Legend, Alexis gives the narration instead of Rad with a small glimmer of hope. She says Starscream has died, but perhaps the tears of sorrow over his death will become ones of determination, swearing that his efforts won't be wasted.
Determination, perhaps even conviction.
Oh, hey, hey, hey. Whereas in Armada,
it's Alexis has a leg having cramp. A bad cramp, that's it.
Yeah. Tears are having a bit. This episode title is so stupid. Anyway, that's the episode.
That's it.
Yeah. We ran a little low on this one, but I think that's not just because we have you as a guest on.
No, there was a lot to get into.
Yeah, this episode gives you something to chew on.
Hmm.
And, you know, like, I think with Rebellion and Mortal Kombat, it's the three strongest episodes of the series.
I can definitely see that. Though, I think Overmatch is still my favorite episode just because I love Scavenger so much.
Understandable.
Yeah, I love Scavenger too. And, you know, I can't not cry watching this episode.
I respect it.
Yeah.
I'm too sensitive. Like, I'll cry over practically anything, but, you know, like, this episode especially, because, you know, like, it means so much to me. Armada was the show that codified me as a Transformers fan, and, you know, like, got me to stick around, and, you know, like, this is the episode I always think back to.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad that you came on.
Thank you.
I appreciate you sharing us
to share your feelings of it with us.
And there's just one more thing that I'd like to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that, you know, despite all three of us having, like, varying perceptions of the show, you guys were willing to, you know, like, listen to what I have to say, even when, you know, like, it seemed sometimes like I was making excuses for the episode.
No, of course. Like,
the reason that we do a show with two separate hosts who watch two separate versions is so that we can have these differences of opinion.
Yeah, 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 and...
And that's exactly why we do guest episodes at all, because... Yeah. It's good to have these other perspectives.
And I tend to, you know, like, put my own meaning into shows and, you know, like imagine that as, you know, like part of the actual text, which is why, you know, like perhaps I, you know, like hold Armada and, you know, like in a higher opinion than most. But, you know, like, I think that's part of art in that, you know, like you put something of yourself into it, not just when you're making it, but also when you view it.
Yeah, 100%.
Definitely.
I think it's true for every Transformers fan, I think, because Transformers is ultimately a commercial for toys, and what we bring to it is that spark of something. I don't know, whatever it is.
For each of us, spark, like, spark.
The spark of play, because we're just all playing with these toys in our minds.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Tyler, for coming on the show. Mm. Where can people find you online if they want to see more of your work?
Well, if you want to, you know, like look at my work and read some of my Transformers profiles, you can find me at Tyranno Creative on Tumblr. And I'm also on Archive of Our Own as Walk the Tyrannosaur.
That's a very good name.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you very much. I have, you know, like profiles for, you know, like on my Tumblr, I have profiles for, you know, like characters that, you know, like don't get bios or, you know, like repurposings. Whereas on my Archive of Our Own account, I have, you know, like short snippet collections and, you know, like vignettes, you know, like for Transformers, several Robots in Disguise 2001 fix. And some Digimon and Symphogear fanfics.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, having read a couple of them myself, like if you listen to like, are like a fan of RID, I would sincerely recommend going check those out.
Yes, thank you very much, Wads. They were written for money. Please don't come after me, Weave Television.
And are you currently offering them for money?
Oh, yes, I'm always open to commissions. And in fact, right now I'm working on a 4-part story focusing on the fossilizers appearing in Beast Wars in a alternate continuity based off of the toy line.
Sick. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And if you want to, you know, like commission a story, my commission info is on my Tumblr account.
Your Tumblr account.
Tumblr, yes. The new social media site that everyone's on. Tumblr. Tumblr sounds like a Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe character.
Wads, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at TheWadapan, or you can find all my writing and stuff at wadapan.wordpress.com.
I should get a WordPress.
And what about you, Joe?
You can find me on Twitter at SJ_Broadside, on Blue Sky at SJBroadside, and if you want to see my art and design work and stuff, you can find a link to my Redbubble account in my pinned tweet.
Basically, buy Joe's shirts. I love them.
Thank you.
All three of us helped to manage the Tumblr blog for Vector Prime, the legendary guardian of space and time from Transformers Cybertron. You can find that at askvectorprime.tumblr.com, so why not send him an ask?
You can find the podcast itself at ourworldspod.podbean.com, on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, and you can follow us at ourworldspod on Twitter or Blue Sky, and maybe someday I will remember to actually put the posts up on the Blue Sky on the day off, because I never do.
Our podcast art is by Claudia, who's at Actual Skullgren on Twitter.
And our theme is Transformer Dream Again English Version by Psychic Lover from their 2018 album Crush and Build.
Don't forget to tune in next time. Something cool might happen.
God, now I'm just imagining, like, Micron Legend Kai, just a version of Micron Legend that's just, like, cuts out 50% of the show and makes it much shorter, but much tighter.
Yeah, I've actually, you know, like, pondered the idea of learning video editing and doing that, but, you know, like...
But who has the time?
Who has the time, and also my video editing skills are somewhere between non-existent and sneaky baby. To steal a joke from Mary Cagle.
Starscream just invented Coinstar for cheese. Sorry, that's nonsense.